You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 14th of May 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's the end of another week. The weekend is here and you know what that means. It means we have Grandpa Dan with us today from all the way over there in Texas. Grandpa, how you doing today?
I feel like we should be opening this show with AC/DC's Back in Black. It seems like it's been forever since we've sat down for a Friday show, Sven.
We have, haven't we? We didn't actually do a show last week. There was Albion Narrations. It is good to be talking to you again, and also missed talking to Dr. Johnson last week, and we had a good live podcast with him yesterday talking about COVID vaccinations, and today is also a COVID-related podcast. A pastor who became an internet sensation after chasing Canadian authorities out of his church has been detained for violating COVID-19 restrictions. Footage of the dramatic arrest was posted on his YouTube channel. Pastor Artur Pavlovsky of Calgary, Alberta, made headlines last month after he berated police for trying to shut down an Easter service that violated limitations on public gatherings. In a viral video of the confrontation, Pavlovsky is heard shouting at the Nazi and Gestapo officers to leave immediately, telling them not to return without a warrant. Although the police retreated, it appears authorities were determined to stop the pastor from holding services. Earlier this week, Alberta Health Services obtained a court order which allows law enforcement to issue fines and even make arrests in order to enforce public health guidelines. The order also applies to organizers of demonstrations. And I'll just leave it there because this is something we keep seeing happen. Also in Easter, in London, in Britain, there was a church service that was shut down by the British police. We haven't heard of any mosques that have actually been shut down by the police anywhere, but they seem quite bold enough to go into churches and close them down. And people will say, well, this is due to the COVID regulations and we don't want people to catch COVID. But it bears a similarity to what the communists were doing. I mean, it may be a different reason today. They may be giving the excuse of COVID, but the end result is the same, isn't it? The churches are being closed down, and the churches in Britain have been closed now since last March, really. And in a lot of them, there really weren't that many people that were attending anyway. And now that nobody has actually been in them for a year, I fear we're going to see a lot of these old churches that are just going to end up having to close down. I mean, how are they going to be maintained? I think this COVID lockdown is really going to have done quite a lot of damage to the church itself. And now we're actually seeing situations like this where the police are going in and actually shutting down the church services themselves. What do you make of what happened here over in Canada, Grandpa?
Well, the thing that makes something a right, what this establishes is that you do not have a right to practice your religion. And because the thing that makes something a right is that the government cannot make up an excuse to take it away because it is a fundamental right. So you either have a right to practice your religion, to gather for your church services, or you do not. If the government can come up with this whole COVID thing is nothing more than an excuse. Well, we're just shutting it down because there's a deadly pandemic of the flu. But if it's a right, the excuses don't matter because they can't violate your rights with an excuse. And all of this COVID nonsense is claiming it's, well, we're just doing this because of the pandemic. It's simply an excuse. I mean, all they are countering this when people point this out and when people are outraged about this, their only counter is, yes, but there's a pandemic, but that is nothing more than an excuse. And if an excuse can be used to take this away from you, then it's not a right. It's simply a privilege that the government is granting you. We're going to give you the privilege. We're going to give you the privilege of gathering for church maybe someday. So this is establishing that you no longer have the right, which all of our other rights have gone out the window. So I suppose we really shouldn't be surprised by it, but it's still disheartening nonetheless.
Well, I think it also causes people to doubt the efficacy of the sacraments as well. I mean, you have the Catholics that believe that the bread and the wine literally become Jesus's body and his blood. And yet for the last year, they've been told that they can only have Holy Communion over Zoom or over Skype or over Facebook, which tends to say that their belief itself is being mocked here. And they're saying that that doesn't actually happen. And it's just as relevant to have a virtual version of Communion. I guess the more evangelical types, they've been quite happy to have Zoom meetings. But when you've got traditionalists, which are like this church here in Canada, the Poles are very traditional, to be told that they're not allowed to take communion, they're not allowed to take their sacraments. I mean, that's really the first time that the church has been interfered with like that since when Muslims invaded European countries, Christian countries, and put a stop to the church services there hundreds of years ago. And now it's our own governments that are actually doing this. Well, Calgary police then served Pavlovsky with the order. The force said the pastor acknowledged the injunction, but nonetheless ignored requirements for social distancing, mask wearing, and reduced capacity limits for attendees, and continued to hold religious gatherings. On Saturday, a car carrying Pavlovsky and his brother David was pulled over by police. The incident was filmed by the vehicle's driver. After the driver rolls down the window, an officer explains that Arthur and David were under arrest for violating the injunction, and asks the two brothers to step out of the car. Arthur, who is sitting in the front passenger seat, complies. Moments later, he is seen kneeling on the road with his hands placed behind his head. The pastor then begins to yell at the Gestapo psychopaths and Nazis as he is arrested. "Do it Nazi style," he shouts at two officers as they cuff him. The cops then drag the pastor to a police cruiser. His brother is also seen kneeling on the highway as three officers carry him to one of their vehicles. The operation involved at least five police cars and what appears to be about a dozen officers. The two brothers were charged with organising and attending an illegal in-person gathering, the CBC reported. One thing this reminds me of is during the 80s, during the acid house craze, and there were all these raves that were going on, they brought a law in saying that more than two people constituted a gathering, and the police could break it up. And that was essentially because people were putting on these illegal raves. There were lots of illegal drugs, and you know, crime was taking place there, basically. But what we have here is people gathering for church, gathering for religious instruction. And it is a part of all the constitutions of the European people's countries that we have a freedom to follow our religions, basically, and freedom to have religious gatherings. I mean, the whole of Christendom, the whole of Europe was actually based around Christianity and Christian rules and Christian laws. And what we've seen with this lockdown, what we've seen with COVID, is that all of that has just been thrown out the window. And I would take issue here with him likening this to the Gestapo. I mean, the Germans, the National Socialists, they never put a stop to church services. Quite the opposite. They actually built lots of churches. It was the communists that put a stop to the church services. It was the communists that turned the churches into cinemas and science museums and temples to secularism. And it was the communists that sent the priests off to the camps and the gulags, and that actually massacred lots of priests. The Germans, the National Socialists, they encouraged Christianity. They encouraged more churches to be built. So it is a shame here that this Polish priest here, this Polish pastor, that he wasn't aware of that. But I guess Poland has a history with Germany. But you would imagine that he would know what the communists were like. I mean, he is Polish. Poland was under National Socialism, and Poland was under communism. I guess he's calling them Nazis here because that's more of a common slur word that is used than communists. Well, what do you make of the arrest here that happened, Grandpa?
Yeah, well, people are generally stupid and they regurgitate the things they've been told. So, of course, he's going to regurgitate Nazis and Gestapo. But that's kind of, you know, I don't think we should get hung up on that too much. I think we should stop for a moment to salute our brave heroes, who it took 12 of them to arrest a preacher and his brother who were driving in their car. They obviously posed such a danger to society by, you know, radically holding church services. And how come we haven't heard about all of those people that did gather, apparently now illegally, because we don't have a right anymore to have church service because they came up with an excuse? How come we haven't heard of all of his congregation falling over dead from this deadly virus? If it's so deadly and he's putting these people in danger, how come nobody died from it? You know, we're just not supposed to ask any of these questions. It's so ludicrous. I remember back in the day, like in the late 80s, early 90s, you would turn on these televangelists like Pat Robertson and the 700 Club. You're fortunate they don't have that there in Britain. But I mean, you know, and they would talk about the day is going to come when the government, and they would show the, they'd produce these little videos and the police are breaking indoors and dragging people out for whole, you know, they're sitting around in a dark room clutching to their Bibles and the government is going to come and take away your right. And those people are silent now. I mean, here we are, literally. You've got a preacher drug over on the side of the road. I think it's interesting that they picked him up while they were driving down the road instead of showing up to the church again. But they dragged this preacher into jail, literally, for holding church services. And these people back then that were, you know, making up this fantasy that, you know, this was going to happen. And a part of that in a lot of ways is literally happening now before our very eyes. And, you know, that, well, here's your doomsday scenario for Christianity. And they're overall pretty silent. Now we have here in the U.S., you know, they've announced that if you get the vaccine, this shows what how nonsensical it is. They announced yesterday that if you get the vaccine, even though they've been telling us that even if you're vaccinated, you can still get the doom virus. But they're really having to move. They're really pushing as far as they can with the carrot because they're getting ready to whip the stick out for the people that refuse to do the vaccine. They announced that, you know, if you have been vaccinated, we're going to go ahead and lift the mask restriction. You don't have to wear the mask. And of course, this is just full carrot now. They're trying to get into the people. They've gone through all the people that rushed out and volunteered to get this experimental gene therapy. And now they're trying to get more coercive, and it's going to get more and more coercive. But it's hard to picture a whole lot more coercive than dragging you out of your car with 12 cops armed, throwing the cuffs on you and dragging you off to jail for something as simple and supposed to be a fundamental right as holding a church service. And again, when they justify this by saying, oh, well, they're in violation of COVID restrictions, that is nothing more than an excuse. I mean, that is, if the government, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something, you know, to highlight how silly this is. I mean, you're supposed to have, say, a constitutional right for the government not to come and house soldiers in your home. It would be like the government came in and, you know, based a bunch of troops in your house and said, well, we're having to do this, though, because there's a pandemic. I mean, it's just an excuse. You either have a right or you do not have that right. And clearly they're saying here that you don't have the right to hold church services. And it's also, I think, very, shall we say, interesting that it is. They make it a point to pick on a church. They're not doing this at, they say, oh, well, gatherings. But I would be willing to bet that they're not going to do this to any organizers of, say, a BLM protest. Are they going to hunt down the organizers of a BLM protest and drag them off to jail with 12 armed cops pulling them over in their car because they're holding an illegal gathering? We know the answer to this. So it is being selectively applied. And obviously, it's being selectively applied to Christians.
Yeah, they're just going after the easy pickings, aren't they? I guess it's like the carrot and the stick. And what we have here is the stick, and we also have the carrot. We also have the New York Mayor, Bill de Blasio, who is offering free French fries for anyone who gets the vaccine. And he's actually pictured on the advert eating the French fries as if as if a quick meal of French fries is any kind of compensation for messing around with your genetic code, something that can never be put right once it's actually been done to you. I mean, we're already hearing that these vaccines are going to require continual updates. Some people may actually need 3 updates this year. And I dare say that in the future, a lot of these updates are going to be attempts to fix the mess that was created in the first place. Well, the arrests have already led to a campaign to raise funds for their legal defence, organised by conservative Canadian outlet Rebel News. Arresting Christians for holding church services is what police states do, not liberal democracies. This has to stop, the news site wrote. In a statement, the Calgary Police Service said that it recognises people's desire to participate in faith-based gatherings, as well as the right to protest, but that residents must comply with public health orders in order to ensure everyone's safety and well-being. Well, as you pointed out, Grandpa, I think they're quite happy for Black Lives Matter to hold protests, which don't actually bother to comply with public health orders. But as soon as there is a Christian faith-based gathering, then they're going to steam in there to try and put a stop to it. And I do think we should point out here that it's good of RT to refer to the Canadian outlet Rebel News as just a conservative Canadian outlet. Normally, when you read about Rebel News, you hear about them being far right, or you can hear about them being conspiracy theorists. So we have to credit RT for being objective here and calling them conservative Canadians. But I mean, it was just so predictable that it was going to be Rebel News that were leading a campaign to raise funds for the legal defence, because that seems to be mainly what Rebel News do, is raise funds for various different issues. But at least this one is a good issue, really. But I would imagine that there were also Christian organisations that were raising funds for them, for the defence of Christians to be able to gather together and observe their faith. But at least we also have Rebel News that are drawing attention to it. Do you want to add any comments to that, Grandpa?
Yeah, the virus, the vaccines, it's just going to be like your computer. You know, you have these constant Windows updates for virus protection. You're going to be constantly getting an update to your DNA for virus protection. I mean, they're acting like they're announcing that, oh, well, the cases of COVID are dropping, and they're saying it's due to we're getting so many people vaccinated. No, it's because the flu season is over. We're entering into spring and summer. The flu always tapers off. And then we all know in the fall and winter, when flu season starts opening it up, you get a new version of the flu. And they always have, I mean, every year we've had these flu shots, and they have to come up with a different one, you know, to try to give everybody the flu shot. Only now, you know, you're going to get a new variant of COVID. So every year in the fall and the winter, when the flu season comes back around, they're going to have a new update. And they're going to run around and want you to get updated on your virus protection. There are no long-term studies as to the effects. I mean, when we say something like they're messing with our DNA, and we're not claiming that this is going to do, you know, X, Y, and Z to you, that we're saying that we don't know. Nobody knows. They don't know. You are the guinea pigs. You are the long-term test subjects. They're not going to know what it does. That's what they're trying to find out. They're studying you, and the whole population that gets these vaccines are the guinea pigs. I think it's funny that they made the statement that this is what police states do, not liberal democracies. But that's a lie. Obviously, this is what democracies do. I mean, they're literally doing. You can't say, oh, well, this isn't what they do. But they are literally doing that very thing. So that statement is untrue. And then I thought the response from the Calgary Police Service was interesting, because they, again, and I keep harping on this, they take the word right and replace it with something else. They recognize, quote, people's desire to participate in faith-based gatherings. But we're supposed to have a right to that. If it's a desire, that's just a privilege. That's just something you want to do. You might desire having cupcakes after supper tonight. That's not a right. We've been told that we have this right to have our faith-based gathering, to practice our religion, to have our congregations. But they take that word right away, and they replace it with this word desire, which means it's just something you want to do, but you don't have a right to do it. And again, if you don't have the right to do this, then what do you have the right to do? That's why people really have got to just I don't know, stand up for themselves. Because if you don't have the right to do something so basic and fundamental as gather together in a church service and practice your religion, then you don't have any other rights. Running around talking about, oh, we have this amendment or that amendment. And I realize we're talking about Canada here, not the U.S., but still basically it applies. Anything they tell you, you have the right to do. Apparently, as long as they come up with a good enough excuse, you don't have that right. And it suddenly simply becomes nothing more than a desire.
Well, this is what happened when we gave up our God-given rights, isn't it? When you have God-given rights that are based on the Bible, they can't be taken away from you. As soon as you say, well, we know better than that now, we have science, and we come up with a thing that's called human rights, well, that means that it's humans that are giving you these rights. That means that it's the government that is giving you these rights, and it means that the government can then take them away because they're not God-given rights. So we're told human rights are a wonderful thing, but in actual fact, what it really means is that the government can just take them away at their will. Well, Alberta recently imposed tougher COVID-19 restrictions amidst a surge in cases. Under the new guidelines, attendance at places of worship has been capped at 15 people. Schools have been moved online and residents have been urged to limit the size of personal gatherings. The Canadian province has 25,000 active coronavirus cases, and its active case rate of 534 per 100,000 has been described as the highest in North America. Well, 534 per 100,000 works out at one in about 200 people, and I dare say that the church service probably had about 30 people there, so the likelihood of anybody there actually catching it is pretty rare. And also, these cases aren't going to be spread out, are they? They're going to be concentrated in one particular area. You're going to know if you've got coronavirus in an area. It's going to be families that have got it. It's going to be people that live closely together. And quite clearly here, that they don't trust the citizens. They don't trust the Canadian citizens to not go out if they actually have this. But the likelihood of anyone actually catching this in the church is very low, but it's just used as an excuse to come down very, very heavily on them and to arrest this preacher. And this comes on the top of us hearing about preachers being arrested for just quoting parts from the Bible over here in Britain. We also hear things like that happening in America. We hear of Christian bakers that are being prosecuted because they don't want to bake cakes that are promoting anti-Christian ideas. And now we see that we actually have pastors that are being arrested for trying to hold church services. And there's a different excuse for each one of these things, but they all go together to show that there is this prejudice and this discrimination against Christians in what are supposed to be Christian countries. It's not as bad as in Muslim countries where Christians have to pay an extra tax and they're not allowed to have churches at all in Saudi Arabia. But it is heading in that way. We haven't been able to hold church services for the last year because of this coronavirus excuse. And now it's supposed to be getting better. But in actual fact, we're actually seeing people being arrested for this. What do you make of the coronavirus figures here for Canada, Grandpa?
We know these figures are real. Why? Because they tell us so. I mean, it's sad, but we're at the point here that I can't believe anything they tell us. They say, oh, these numbers are this. But how do we even know that? Well, because the very people that are pushing these things are giving us these numbers. I mean, how do we really actually take that at face value? The very people that are benefiting from this are giving us the statistics to justify what they're wanting to do. And they're obviously wanting to do this. They're not doing this hesitantly. They're chomping at the bit to do these very things. And their statistics are always very, which ones they want to use. They ignore them when they don't serve their purpose. A good case in point here is now they're pushing here in the U.S., they're pushing to vaccinate kids. In fact, they're doing trials on children, small children, like 5 years old, to test them for this vaccine. They've just opened it up where 12-year-olds and up can now start getting this vaccine. Yet their very own statistics say that these kids have basically are under zero threat from this virus, zero, zilch. And yet we know that the side effects from the vaccines are not zero. I mean, they keep trying to play them down, and they keep trying to get real vague when you bring up side effects. They get real vague, and, well, we don't know, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we know they're not zero. We may not know exactly what they are and how many people, because they won't tell us, but we know that they're not zero. And yet, by their own statistics, kids have pretty much zero chance of having ill side effects from getting this virus. So what do they say? They say, well, you can have no symptoms and still be spreading it around and killing other people. So you still got to get a vaccine, you know, get vaccinated. And yet they came out this morning. I saw on the news this morning where they were shocked because they had all of these people that were vaccinated and they tested positive for coronavirus. So does the vaccine even work? I mean, it's all so muddled, and they're not giving us straight information here. This is obviously a justification. And I'm sorry, I think this vaccine is a giant science experiment.
Well, it really can't be anything else. When you look at the figures, if you're under 50, you've got a 1 in 500,000 chance of dying of coronavirus, but you've got a 1 in 250,000 chance of dying of blood clots from the vaccine. So it doesn't make sense to have a vaccine, and yet it's being pushed. And I think there's only 300 and something odd people that actually died under the age of 60 in Britain last year from coronavirus. And we've already had more people than that die linked to the vaccine. But getting back to these church services here, the same thing happened in Britain back at Easter this year. A Good Friday service at a Catholic church in South London was shut down for breaching national lockdown restrictions, police said. Met Police said officers found some worshippers without masks and not socially distancing at Christ the King Church on Balham High Road on Friday. Video of officers addressing the congregation from the altar of the church has been circulating online. The church said all the government requirements have been complied with. A representative of the Polish Catholic Mission Balham, which runs the church, added that worshippers had obeyed the police without objection. We believe, however, that the police have brutally exceeded their powers by issuing their warrant for no good reason, the spokesman added. We regret that the rights of the faithful have been wronged on such an important day for every believer, and that our worship has also been profaned. The rector of the Catholic Polish mission, Stefan Wilizek, said he intended to contact the Met to discuss how the situation was handled. And this was incredibly disrespectful. The police went right up to the altar, right into the sacred holy area where worshippers are not supposed to go. It's only supposed to have the priest there. And they went past the priest, past the actual altar, and spoke into the microphone and said the church service was being shut down. And the churchgoers had honoured all the social distancing requirements. There was only a certain number of them in there. The government had said that church services could go on so long as people were obeying the guidelines, and this church was actually doing it, and yet they were still shut down, and we didn't hear of any mosques that were being shut down. And I have to say, we do have to praise the Poles for being such committed Christians that they are prepared to hold their church services in respect of their right to hold church services, and to do that in defiance of statutes that have been brought in that say that they shouldn't be holding these church services. It's a matter of law here. Which one of these two laws holds the most weight? Is it the one that our entire system is built upon, which is the canon law, the church law, or is it a statute that the government brought in last year in an emergency? Which one holds the most weight? And it would seem that the original common law rights actually hold the most weight, because a lot of these cases in Britain, a lot of the coronavirus fines have actually been thrown out of court when people have challenged them because of this fact that we do have these rights and they're not allowed to just overturn them. But people believe that the government have the power, and the police believe that they have the power to do this. So they go and they arrest people and they give people these fines. But if people challenge it, if they appeal it, in most cases, they have actually won the appeal. Grandpa, have you got any final thoughts here on what we've been discussing today and this church service on Good Friday that was broken up by the police?
Well, when I read through this very last part, I struggled with how I should respond to it, because it becomes very tempting to respond emotionally. So I would just respond with the very same question that you've been asking through this whole show, which is, have they been doing this in mosques? And no, I'm not saying they should be shutting down the mosques. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking the question, have they been doing this very same thing in mosques? And then in relation to that, if the answer to that is no, then why not? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the reason is because if they tried to do that, there would be more than they're going to contact the Met to discuss how the situation was handled, and they're very disappointed and regret the rights of our faithful. I don't know. You know, you've got the police. They walk up into your church. They, you know, as you say, they've just very disrespectful. They are essentially are spitting on your religion, walk up to the podium and start lecturing to you. And you've got a room full of people there that just sit there and just, okay, I guess this is the way it is. And that's really hard for me, you know, really hard for me to swallow. You pointed out, you know, we respect out to the polls for still holding their church services. I'd like to say respect to the Muslims for actually standing up for and believing in what they believe in. They're not my beliefs, but you got to respect them that, you know, they really do hold to their beliefs to the point to where I don't think the church would walk out. I'm sorry. I don't think the police would walk right up into a mosque, interrupt the imam, push him off the stage and stand up there and start telling everybody that is in there praying to Allah that you're in violation and we're shutting this thing down. And if you keep it up, we're going to fine you and arrest you. So, yeah, I'd also like to salute the Muslims for actually standing up for their beliefs. And if anybody raises a complaint about that, I'm going to accuse you of Islamophobia, by the way. But no, that's all you can say. I mean, at some point in time, again, you either have a right or you don't. And obviously the government in both of these stories is telling Christians specifically that they no longer have the right to practice their beliefs.
Well, of course, the police would be accused of Islamophobia if they did actually go into the mosques. But at the same time, we're being told that it's the non-white communities that are suffering more from coronavirus. And you would think that because of that, they would concentrate more on the non-white communities in trying to make sure that they actually observed the social distancing and didn't hold their mosque services. But instead, they've been going after the Christians, which, of course, is exactly how we would predict it to go. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.